This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, Henrik. I'm Alex Strominger, and I've been working for several decades in the internet and intranet strategy area on technology platforms. And I'm also a serial entrepreneur, which I think you know. And so I've been involved in a number of different startup projects, including most recently a bricks and mortar startup project, which involves revitalizing a 100-year-old country store in rural Virginia. And that might be a topic for another discussion, except I will point out that in the bricks and mortar world, user adoption is vital to any business as well.
Alex, how are you involved with user adoption?
So user adoption is something which I have thought a lot about because I believe that the success of most technology implementation projects hinges on whether or not the user is going to adopt it at the end. So in other words, you may have a great solution for your company in terms of a tech platform, a digital workplace system or a digital asset management system or an internet content management system. And you think that it's going to solve your problems and it might be able to do that. But in the end, it doesn't matter if nobody uses it. And so the success of a user project like that is the user adoption. And so we talk about it sometimes in terms of organizational development or change management, because there's so many pieces that have to go right to get people to change the way they work, to change their habits and to change often entrenched views of what this new system, often something that's viewed to be handed down by management as a fait accompli, unasked for. It doesn't necessarily put you in the right position to get people to start jumping in and using the thing. So you have to get them to do it, and that's a big challenge. And we often don't plan for it sufficiently in our project planning. We plan for the identifying, acquiring, implementing the technology, but we don't give a lot of room in our planning to the user adoption part, and this is why it often fails.
Alex, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
I think that there are two areas that need to be on the radar screen for us when we talk about user adoption, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're not talking about the challenges that are solved by the technology. You did that when you identified your solution, and hopefully you implemented it okay. But now we're dealing with human beings, and human beings have habits. They have prejudices. They are often entrenched in their thoughts about the system that they may already have. Maybe they're attached to it in ways because it's, you know, they believe it's a better system. In the same way that, you know, people who are Mac users are attached to Macs, and no matter what you say about the PC that just came out, it's not going to be popular with the Mac users, right? So people are entrenched in their opinions. And so often what we have to do is we have to figure out, you know, is there a political resistance in the organization that has to be overcome? And, you know, is there also a way that we can, there's an economic piece of it as well. You know, what's the value to the end user in changing the habits? Is it sufficient to get them to adopt the new technology? And, you know, we look for a certain combination of carrot and stick, you know, support from management, but also we try to get early adopters to lead the way and socialize the new system. This is where the challenge is trying to get the people on board with the new thing and make these changes to their habits. In preparation for this call, I pulled up a favorite quote from Machiavelli's The Prince. And if you don't mind, I'll share that with you briefly. It must be considered that there is nothing more difficult to carry out, more perilous to manage, nor more uncertain of success than to introduce a new order of things. For the innovator has enemies in all those who currently profit by the old order, and only lukewarm defenders in all those who would profit by the new order. This lukewarmness, arising partly from the incredulity of men who do not truly believe in anything new until they have actual experience of it. Whenever his enemies have the ability to attack the innovator, they do so with the passion of partisans, while the others defend him sluggishly, so that the innovator and his party alike are vulnerable. That's a great sort of description of the way that we are entrenched in things and have habits and often stakeholders in the old order of things. And we have to overcome a lot with human beings to do the new thing. There's a whole science. It's called the diffusion of innovation. I mean, what you have to do to get innovations adopted in a social group, you know, like an organization or a government. In Machiavelli's case, he was talking about change in government back in the 1500s. There's the two pieces. There's the political entrenched part of it that you have to manage, and then there's the economic part of it, and that is to show value to the end user so that there's something in it for them.
Alex, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
The easiest thing that you can do to start down this path is to give some room for it in the project planning process. If you don't have a place marker for the part of the project, you know, with some budget and some time and some resources to get it done, then it's an afterthought, and you're putting yourself in a position not to succeed. So there's a whole lot of information out there in terms of how to incentivize people. I've seen people talk about putting reward systems in place where people who, you know, do a certain amount of work in a new system get something, or maybe, you know, they give out employee of the week awards or other things to incentivize people. Certainly you can mandate adoption from the top down, but generally that by itself is not enough. But, you know, the main thing is you want to get people involved in it somehow, and that takes effort and some planning. So step number one is just make sure in your project plan you have allowed a sufficient piece to do the user adoption. And that could basically involve, for example, doing some pilot projects with some potential early adopters, people who may be ripe for adopting this technology already, and maybe those folks can start to demonstrate some success to the other people. You know, people who become early adopters are often your best proselytizers for a new system or a new way of doing things, because if they get other people to come over and use the tool, then that creates value for them. It's just like in social media, if you're a WhatsApp user and I'm on Facebook, that doesn't do you any good. So I'm going to try to talk you into joining WhatsApp because it makes my WhatsApp more valuable, and vice versa. You know, if I'm a Facebook user, I'm going to maybe try to talk you into joining Facebook because it makes my Facebook more valuable. The Metcalfe's law, as we know, is that the more nodes in a network, the more valuable the network is. Those are some ways you can do it, but start by making sure that that conversation happens and that project is planned for a user adoption piece.
And Alex, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
In a shameless bit of self-promotion, I'll point you to a article I wrote for the Journal of Digital Asset Management, the Journal of Digital Media Management, a few years ago, which is on the front page of my website, alex.struminger.com. And in it, I describe a UNICEF digital asset management project, which had a big user adoption piece in it, and I think is a good example of how one might do it. But there's a lot of folks out there with case studies that are equally as good. So I would recommend that you look at what people have done to inspire user adoption, to get people involved, and it's well worth the effort. It could mean the success or failure of the project, which, you know, may be millions of dollars to some organizations. You can't put that at risk because you didn't invite everybody to the table in a way that's compelling.
Well, thanks, Alex.
Well, thanks for having me, Henrik. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.